world, problem is a constant challenge to every stage, every phase of life. Some have financial problems, others have health problems, relational problems, family problems, problem at work, students have problems in their studies, and career path they may take, employees have problems at workplaces, and parents have problems in their about their family support or the future of their family. What problem are you facing now? What did you do to stop worrying about the future of your family? When I resolved to join the full-time service of God, by God's grace, the Lord freed me from worrying about the future of my family. Initially, the lifestyle of missionary has attracted me more than the other areas of ministry. And as a family, we have traveled frequently from one place to another place. And we have transferred from one residence to another more than 30 times. And after that 30 times, we stopped counting after that. Perhaps our stay in Winnipeg reaches at 50, I don't know, according to Louis' count. For sure, it was a struggling experience for our children. Why do we need to go to another place very often? There were times when we even transfer. After six months, we go to another place. 6 months, one year, 2 years, 3 years, we transfer. So they ask, why do we need to go to another place often? They miss their friends. They were forced to establish new relationship, new friendship again and again. And by God's grace, we are able to adjust in any situation we face. We learn how to live with abundance. We learn how to live in scarcity by God's grace. And by God's grace, it is by His grace as a church that we gather. It's one of you, it's of us. We are here together today, worshiping together as a church. That's an evidence of God's grace at work in our life, in our midst, among us. It's by God's grace, not by human effort, that the Lord brings ministry accomplishment to success. Not through human expertise, not through training, not through talent, by God's grace at work, that missionaries survive in many unfamiliar places. But if God allows them not to survive, He has better plan. By God's grace, missionaries have that courage to face uncertainties, no worries of the unknown. And by God's grace, we go through this pandemic. We don't know. It's kind of like we are also missionaries somehow, because we are facing this pandemic and we don't know how we may escape from this pandemic. Serving the Lord as missionaries would require significant travels. Now, if you love traveling, that's very tough for you, because in this time of pandemic, traveling is very limited. But most often, missionaries are transient, no permanent residency. There are lots of travel adventures, and they must enjoy traveling frequently. Now, I learned that I'm not really a missionary because I hate traveling. I don't really hate as in hate, but I resist traveling. I don't enjoy traveling that much. Let's read again verse 1 to 3. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. But some Jews had plotted against him. Just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. Now, Paul was a missionary. He was not a pastor. Missionary travels a lot. The pastor stays in one place to shepherd the flock. When God allows difficult situation in our life, He wants us to pay attention to His leading, to His instruction. All of us have difficulties, but each of us has unique situation that we face. What is God telling you? Why did God allow that riot? Why did God allow that uproar, that plot against Apostle Paul? That's kind of question that we may ask. Why did God allow this situation that I am in? My problem. Well, in Apostle Paul's case, what was it God's tactical design for him to be mobile and not to permanently reside in one place? It was not mentioned if Paul has considered residing in one city permanently. It might never come to his mind to purchase a home or establish residency in a city. One clear picture that we can learn about the ministry of Paul is that he traveled frequently as missionary. From Ephesus, after encouraging the disciples to continue in their faith, Paul and his mission team went to Macedonia. Ephesus is in Asia, Macedonia is in Europe, and they went to Macedonia to encourage the believers there too. After that, he proceeded and stayed in Greece for about 3 months. Now, traveling frequently, Paul might have a very few things with him, kind of like a backpack or, I don't know, a traveling bag, ready to pack, ready to carry, a few clothes, and his scripture. He doesn't own much, or he didn't collect much. And the Jews in Greece, they were bothered by his presence because they were jealous of his popularity. Paul preached about Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection. And the Jewish people there did not like what they heard. The Jews were very quick to plot against him. And it was not revealed as to how Paul came to know about the plot, but Dr. Luke wrote it when they were about to sail to Syria. Paul adjusted his plan. At first, their plan was to sail, but instead of sailing, they returned to Macedonia by land. And the Macedonians were more lenient to his presence. Paul never worried about his safety. He never worried about financial status. So we can never see in here his prayer. He did pray, Lord, how about my finances? How about when I travel to this? Where would I stay in this city? He didn't ask the Lord about those things. He never worried about those things. How to support his mission team, how the Lord would sustain his travels in his mission team. Now, when the Lord allows you to decide on something and gives you peace that comes from God surpasses understanding, it means you would never think about what may happen in the future. You might not be able to explain even in human words, because it says, peace that surpasses understanding. If you understand, then that did not come from God. Apostle Paul just followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. When calling from the Lord is very clear, the Holy Spirit of Christ would assure believers that everything would turn out for the glory of God. No pessimism. Well, what is pessimism? Does pessimism always, is it bad? Is it negative? Think about this. Pessimism means it is a tendency to see, anticipate, emphasize only bad or undesirable outcome, undesirable result, bad condition. They see those things, tragic problems. Those are how you see if you are pessimistic. But is it really bad to be pessimistic? It is narrated in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 6 to 8. Let's read this. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men, and asked them, "Shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain?" "Go," they answered, "for the Lord will give it into the king's hand." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here whom we can inquire of?" The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me, but always bad. He is Micaiah, son of Imlah." Now, Micaiah was God's prophet. He prophesied negative things against King Ahab of Israel. King Ahab of Israel did not like Micaiah because of that, because he was not very encouraging. He would always say negative things. So King Ahab preferred that 400 motivational prophets. He would listen to them because they give good things. They told him positive things. But negative or positive things, God can use them to accomplish his purposes. Amen. Even negative ideas, take note of that. Why would God allow you to think of negative things in the first place? When God allows us to anticipate negative things, it is a reminder for us to reconsider our faith and lifestyle. Undesirable results are possibilities. And the Lord may not want us. He may not want us to suffer. You know, if we are prepared for a situation or not. Like, for example, if you're thinking of going to one place, I would like to camp, have a family camp in this place. But somebody said, "No, don't go there, it's dangerous." "No, I want that place, it has clear water, I like fishing. I want that serenity." But somebody said, "No, don't go there." Perhaps you might have heard of a young person who went on a free lifestyle on a RV, but end up not so good. From our passage, opposition to Apostle Paul was his go signal to reevaluate his plans and ministry approach. So unfavorable situations were his go signal to move or travel to his next mission assignment. He had to travel. He had a lot of travel adventures, and he was always transient. He was not permanent in a city, in one city. He stayed for short times. Let's read again verse 4, 5, and 6. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas, but we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread. 5 days later, joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, traveled with his missionary team, and those disciples were accompanying him in his mission journey. And there are speculation that his traveling companions were the ones who financed their travel. They were the ones who worked to support them, or they were the ones who would in charge on soliciting, perhaps, for their mission work, mission ministry. It could be true, but Apostle Paul found it helpful to have companions. It's not very great to go alone on mission, and it gave him time to disciple them thoroughly, that's for sure. Dr. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, mentioned the names of their traveling companions, and he recorded numbers of days of their stay in Troas. Why would those names so important that he added in the Bible? Did God inspire him to include the names, to include the number of days? Or did Dr. Luke expect that the book of Acts will eventually reach the city of origin of their missionary team members? Well, the numbers and names of those are strong exhibits. These are strong proof that what he wrote was accurate personal experience of Dr. Luke. Apostle Paul was transient. As transient, it's not ideal for pastor's lifestyle. Not ideal to travel for pastors. But being transient, that is a model for missionaries. Pastors are called to reside in one church, to shepherd the church for a longer time until God called them to another place. Pastors who could not stay in one church might have been called as missionaries, not pastors. Now, there were Facebook updates, social media updates in the profile that says, "Pray for your pastor, pray for your pastors." And they would write, "There are 400 plus, less than 500 monthly numbers of pastors who would resign from one church." And it's my understanding that when a pastor resigns, it might be that God called him to another place. Not because he cannot endure that place. Perhaps that is only just one reason why the pastor would leave that place. If God is in control, even those kind of things, he has planned for those things. God might have given them the desire to keep moving and be transient. Not necessarily, many pastors would look at long-term pastors like the pastor of Lakewood, the pastor of Saddleback, the pastor of wherever that pastorate, long-term, and they use that as model for pastorate. But no, when God calls one, he might want to stay in one place for a span of time. And me, for sure, I don't know when. If God allows me to stay longer, I don't know. But if he allows me to move on, I don't know. But I pray that God would give me peace when that time comes. Now, my question is, are you transient in this city of Winnipeg? Or are you permanent residents in this city of Winnipeg? Do you have plan to stay longer for a period, longer period of time? What is it in your mind, in your heart? Or are you planning to move to the west or move to the east? Consider this. Which one is better, to rent or buy home in Canada or in Winnipeg. Both renting and buying home, there are downside and upside of those decisions. It depends upon a person's lifestyle. It depends upon your lifestyle. When people say, oh, it's better for you to rent, it's better for you to buy a home. No, it's your lifestyle. To buy a home is preferred choice for those who don't want to transfer very often. For those who have newly bought their home, you know that tiredness you may have transferring your things from one place to another. Just imagine for us. Imagine what we had before. We had only very few things when we transferred many times in the past. To buy a home is preferred for those who don't want to change, to transfer. They want to stay in one place and invest in reality. Renting, it offers maybe cheaper expenditure, and one can move easily. If they don't like the place, they can easily move. I don't like this apartment, I can move to another apartment. I don't like this community, I can move to another community. Renting is better fit for transient. In a spiritual sense, we Christians, we are transients. In this world, we are pilgrims. We are travelers spiritually. Our life on earth is our spiritual journey as we prepare for our eternal dwelling. Are you prepared to live in eternity? While we live in this earth temporarily, we should be prepared for eternal lifestyle. Do you know how to live in eternity? If Christ is coming tomorrow, if Christ is coming in a little while, if Christ is coming 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, the question is, have you earned enough treasure in heaven? That is one command that the Lord wants each believer to have. Earn your eternal treasure. Why did he command that? Because we don't know. It might be important to have that eternal treasure. It is. We don't know when the Lord comes again. It might be in a little while, but we need to prepare for life in eternity. And as we look forward and anticipate for the coming of the Lord Jesus again to bring us to heaven, let's continue to ask him to strengthen our faith, our hope. The Spirit of Christ in our hearts, he gives that hope. He assures us that hope, that we reach our eternal dwelling and live with him, with the Lord, in his heaven, with the Heavenly Father. Friends, how strong is your hope that you will live in eternity? Even as we participate in the Lord's Supper, this practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of the Lord's coming again. But we have this privilege of telling others about his death and resurrection. Let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25, and 29 and 30. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait it for it patiently. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Conformity to the image of Jesus Christ is a manifestation, practical proof, practical exhibit of being predestined. Look at your life. Ask yourself, are there changes that I experience personally? Our mission expedition is to practice godly lifestyle so that when we get to heaven, it won't be awkward, but feel at home with God. One encouragement that I told my relatives when they come here to Canada, when they want to come here, is that practice your driving. If you don't drive, start driving, because in Canada, you need to drive, because work in Canada is far. You cannot just walk, or you can take the bus if you would, but during winter, it would be more convenient if you can drive. And that is something that they should consider. Similarly, what we practice as Christians here, when we practice godly lifestyle, that is something that we might be doing in eternity. I don't know. But for sure, when God told us to do something, it has eternal significance. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that the Lord Jesus would come sooner or later, but we need to prepare.